Welcome into the Heat Check Sim Show with your host, The Real Sim Shady. We've got a great episode today. It's the Season 4 March Madness Bracket Reveal episode. I've got a great guest, Matt Evans, the coach of South Dakota State within the Heat Check Sim, and we're going to cover some conference tournament results, his bracketology, and then we're going to get into the bracket reveal itself as well as some analysis related to that. So you've got a really great episode. I think you guys are really going to enjoy the conversation we had. So let's get into it. I'm excited to welcome in my guest for today's episode, Matt Evans, the coach of South Dakota State within the Heat Check Sim, previously of Idaho State. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited to have you. You know, I've been trying to have you on for a couple episodes now. You know, you put together quite a bit of, you know, different analytics for the Heat Check Sim. You do your own bracketology. You do, you know, things at the beginning of the season for the preview to break down, you know, team's progression and things like that. So I thought you'd be a perfect person to have on to help, you know, reveal the bracket and kind of break down the different teams that you're excited to see or surprised that didn't make it, things like that. So should be really fun. I'm excited to get rolling on this one.
Yeah, me too. Let's get it
Yeah,
going.
So just for a quick kind of outline for the listeners just on how this is going to work, it's going to be very similar to Season 3's bracket reveal with a couple differences. So this time around, we're going to start with a conference tournament overview. So we're going to, I mean, we're not going to spend a ton of time, but we're going to go over some of the conference tournament results that we thought were notable, that we were surprised by, things like that, just because I think it's interesting and it's fun to kind of see how those played out. When you're listening to this, you should be able to see the results of the conference tournaments as we go through. So if you want to follow along, that's definitely a great way to do it. But like I said, we're just going to touch on them briefly, but we are going to touch on every conference. Following that, we're going to go into a little bracketology to kind of set the stage for the bracket reveal itself. And then, you know, we're going to get into the bracket reveal at that point and then do a little bit of analysis on the bracket that we have released. So I'm excited to get started and let's get into it. Let's start with the conference tournament results. I mean, I don't know if there's a crazier way we can start this off. We're going to go in alphabetical order, and we're going to start with the Atlantic 10 tournament. I mean, this one is crazy right off the gate. George Washington, the 8 seed in the tournament, runs the table, goes 3-0, and they earn the automatic bid for the conference, upsetting Massachusetts in the championship 68-61.
Yeah, that was – what a way to start. I mean, just looking at it to begin, you know, we knew St. Joe's was going to be in a good position, but you've got bubble teams like VCU and Dayton and Rhode Island all just tumbling in the early rounds. So it's going to be interesting to see where they end up.
Yeah, am I looking at this right? I think it looks like the top 4 seeds in this Atlantic 10 tournament all lost in the first round. That's
all
incredible.
Lost.
George Washington.
All lost in the
Yeah,
first
George
round.
Washington knocks off St. Joe's. Dayton knocks off Rhode Island, Massachusetts over VCU, and then St. Bonaventure over Richmond. Ultimately, the 8 seed gets it done, George Washington. Wow, what a run for them. Exciting for the Atlantic 10 just for the fact that, you know, it should enable them to get multiple teams into the tournament. We'll see what it does for them on, you know, as we go through this pod. But let's move on to the ACC. The ACC, you know, this is a conference tournament that's loaded with teams trying to get into the tournament. Ultimately, it's not a surprising championship matchup as North Carolina takes down Duke 68-62.
Yeah, this was pretty much as by the book as you could say. The only big difference there with Notre Dame upsetting Louisville. Thing to be watched now is going to be, does that mean that Louisville doesn't make it on the one seed?
Right, yeah. They're a team that's really highly rated coming into the season, had a great season, definitely hoping for that one seed like you mentioned. North Carolina, I will say, they were 0-2 in the regular season against Duke, and then they come out and they exact their revenge in the championship game to win the ACC tournament. So they likely have solidified their one seed for the tournament, but we'll see when we get to that point as well. Moving on to the America East tournament, UMBC as a 5 seed runs the table. They earned the automatic bid by beating Binghamton 69-59 in the championship.
Yeah, that was one we didn't expect coming in. I think we all thought Albany and Stony Brook would be battling out for that automatic berth, but UMBC Retrievers.
they're looking to see if they can repeat some magic from a few years ago in real life, definitely. But yeah, another surprising result early on. We're only 3 tournaments in. Let's move on to the American, where, you know, we had another 1-2 matchup in the championship. This time the 2 seed wins. Connecticut knocks off Cincinnati by 3.
Yeah, that was, like I said, this conference has been all Cincinnati and Connecticut all season. And who, you know, any other results than Connecticut and Cincinnati in the final would have been crazy. But, you know, the two creams of the American crop.
Yeah, definitely looks like that tournament went completely chalk. Moving on to the Atlantic Sun. This one is going to – it hits close to home. This one's hurt. This one hurts. My Liberty Flames, we won our first round matchup. We beat North Alabama, and then we fall to NJIT in the semifinals. So we didn't win our regular season championship. We didn't win the conference championship. So we're not going to be playing in the NIT or the NCAA tournament. Super disappointing result there. Stetson ultimately knocks off NJIT in the championship by 1 in a thriller. So Stetson, the 5 seed, wins the Atlantic Sun tournament. It's the second year in a row we've had kind of a crazy result from the Atlantic Sun.
Yeah, Stetson, NJIT, what a game. That would have been
I don't know how many people were watching it, but yeah, definitely one that would have been fun to watch at that point. Let's move on to the Big Ten. Again, you know, this is – you've got 8 teams that are likely looking at NCAA tournament berths. Some of them are on the bubble. But in the championship, you have Minnesota, the 2 seed, knocking off Iowa, the 4 seed, by 12. Minnesota, you know, they ran through – Michigan, and then they beat Wisconsin on the way there. So they beat the 7 seed, the 3 seed, and the 4 seed to win the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, the two teams here I want to mention. I want to mention Purdue. They are clearly on the bubble, and with that huge win over Michigan State, is that going to be enough to propel them in the tournament? Also, Illinois didn't make the conference tournament. You know, they did have a strong SOR, but is that going to be the thing that keeps them out? We do have a precedent with Tennessee not making it in to their conference tournament and not making it to the dance. So we're going to see where that threshold lies on the SOR of, you know, can they make it in with their
SOR? Yeah, definitely. It's like you said, that Purdue win is huge for them. We'll see if they get in. Like you said, we'll see if they're on the right side of the bubble. And like you said, that Illinois thing is going to be super interesting. SOR super strong. But again, they didn't make the conference tournament. We're not even sure at this point if teams that don't make the conference tournament are able to make the NCAA tournament. So it'll be interesting to see. Also, just the fact that Michigan State loses that first game makes you wonder where they're going to fall on the seed line as well, because that's a really strong team. I think they came into the season with the second strongest roster in the country.
Second strongest roster, and they had a 7 SOR going into the tournament too. So that, you know, solid number 2 right there, but with that loss, is that going to drop them down to a 3?
Maybe, yeah, definitely. Moving on to the Big 12. Big 12, you got this is going to sound familiar. Kansas wins the Big 12 Conference Championship. They knock off 3-seeded Texas 74-70 in the championship.
Yeah, this conference, no real surprises. The top 5 teams are all pretty solid, and they should be solidly into the tournament.
Moving on to the Big East. So the big notable thing in the Big East is Creighton, who had a fantastic season. I believe they went 26-2 in the regular season. They started 23-0 at least. They were number 1 at multiple points in the season. Creighton had just a fantastic run, but they are suspended from postseason play this year, so they don't even get to play in the Big East tournament, opening the door for Xavier to sneak in as the 8 seed. They lose to Butler in the first round. Ultimately, Villanova knocks off Butler in a thriller at MSG 66-65. The 2 seed beats the 1 seed.
Yeah, this was a pretty cut and dry tournament right here. Villanova and Butler are the 2 clear favorites. If Creighton would have been there, it would have made it much more interesting, I believe. But the thing that's going to be interesting now is teams like Providence, Seton Hall. They're squarely on the bubble. Is their performance going to get them in? Seton Hall beat Providence in the quarterfinals. and, you know, eventually lost in the semis, but is that going to be enough to propel them?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, there's two teams that are in for sure in the NCAA tournament with Villanova Butler, but two more on the bubble, and without Creighton, is the Big East staring down a two-bid season, or could they get up to three or four? We'll see shortly. Moving on to the Big Sky, Weber State knocks off Northern Arizona, 62-57, as Northern Arizona as an 8 seed makes a run to the championship game, but falls short there.
Yeah, Big Sky is one of those conferences where if you're in the top four, only one of you is making it to the final. Like that. there's always been a surprise result here, and it's just, I mean, thankfully for Weber State this year, they actually came out on the right end of it instead of the lower seed.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on to the Big South, no surprises here. Radford, I mean, they absolutely ran through this tournament. They won by 37 against Longwood. They won by 43 against Presbyterian, and then they win by 19 in the championship against Gardner-Webb. They went 16-0 in the regular season. They went 3-0 in the conference tournament, and they are your Big South representative in the NCAA tournament.
I'm very interested to see their seeding. They're going to be
definitely. Yeah, they were on the 12 line last year. Similar team. I think they had an even better season this year, so it'll be interesting to see where they land this year. Moving on to the Big West, UC Davis as a 4 seed makes it to the championship and knocks off 2-seeded Long Beach State 74-70.
Yeah, not much you can say about this one. Just all those teams are all really compact, and I think that we were thinking that Cal State Fullerton and Cal Poly would kind of take the reins, but not both of them out.
Yeah, Cal State Fullerton loses in the first round to Cal State Northridge, the 8 seed. So yeah, a little bit of craziness there, but yeah, like you said, it's a pretty even conference throughout. Moving on to the Colonial, 2-seeded James Madison knocks off 5-seeded Charleston in the championship 75-68 to earn the Colonial's automatic berth.
Yeah, this is one that all those bubble teams need to be concerned about, because Drexel came in with a 44 SOR, but a quarterfinal exit, you know, this could be one of those bubble berths.
I mean, it's another 1-seed losing in that quarterfinal. Like you said, it's shocking. And yeah, so many bubble teams just hate to hear that result. Not good for their hopes. It just puts another team on the bubble that they were hoping wasn't going to be there. Moving on to Conference USA, 1-seed Florida Atlantic. This will be refreshing to those bubble teams. They were able to get the job done. They knocked off Old Dominion, the 2-seed, in the championship game, 65-56. Old Dominion, I believe, is on the bubble. We'll see where they land, when the tournament comes out.
I'll be honest with you. I think Old Dominion's safe. And that's just a, you know, making it to the championship. They were a 32 SOR coming in. I think that they're safe. I would put my money on them not being on the bubble and being a pretty
fair enough. Solid. Yeah, multi-bid Conference USA definitely is a strong possibility, it sounds like. Let's move on to the Horizon, where, again, a lot of chalk here, entirely chalk. Wright State knocks off IUPUI, the 1 seed over the 2 seed in the championship, 84-75.
Yeah, great run for Wright State. Big news for all those bubble teams that, you know, good Wright State squad is through and they have one.
Yeah, Wright State was a team that was on the bubble last year. They missed out, I believe. Green Bay made it. But yeah, excited for Wright State to be able to get the job done this year. Green Bay as the 3 seed had a good season again, despite losing 6 seniors last year. I'm sure they will be strong next year as well. Moving on to the Ivy. And again, 1 seed Princeton runs the table. They go on to beat Columbia 81-65 in the championship.
Yeah, Princeton was they were a clear favorite from the beginning, head and shoulders above the rest of the conference, and they, no surprise.
Definitely. In the Ivy. In the MAAC, we've got Monmouth as the 1 seed. They also get the job done. They knock off St. Peter's, they knock off Ryder, and they knock off Fairfield, the 7 seed in the championship, 85-66. I know they are going to be excited to be in the dance this year, and that's a strong team. This is a team that could pull some upsets depending on the matchups they get.
Yeah, this team, I had them ranked 38th coming into the season, and you know, they are not your mama's mid-major. This is a really solid team that could make some noise. It's going to be very interesting to see where they end up with their strong 48 SOR coming into the conference tournament. I think that the biggest thing for them is going to be that they played an 8, a 4, and a 7.
Right.
So they didn't really get another marquee win in there, something that could burst or to boost their SOR. So it's going to be interesting to see where
they definitely agree. Didn't really get a chance to boost it, but they did play some tough non-conference games. So like you said, hopefully the committee sees the value in those and gives them the seed that I think they deserve. Going on to the MAC, we've got 3-seed Eastern Michigan. They knock off 4-seeded Akron in the championship, 74-72. Little bit of a surprise there, but you know, top 3-seed winning a conference championship isn't going to blow your mind.
Yeah, and that was one that Eastern Michigan needed because they were squarely on the bubble coming in, and that win obviously puts them in. But I think that, you know, with the solid SORs and resumes from Western Michigan and Miami, Ohio, we may be seeing a hashtag.
Wow, that would be awesome. Mac. Yeah, 3-bid MAC, some action in the NCAA tournament. That'll get the people excited for sure. Let's go to the MEAC, where we've got 3-seeded Delaware State knocking off Coppin State by 24. 1-seeded Coppin State gets annihilated in the championship, 75-51.
Yeah, that scoreline really surprised me. I thought that game would be a lot closer, but Delaware State's just taking out their frustration. They kind of struggled a little bit this season in conference, and, man, they really came out when it counted.
So let's move on to the Missouri Valley. This is a conference that saw some upsets last year, ended up getting 3 teams in the tournament last year, one of which was Illinois State. They are going to be in the dance again as they knock off 2-seeded Indiana State, 72-70 in the championship.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting to see with in regards to at-large bids, because Illinois State, yeah, they came in as the 4-seed, 98 SOR, and then you have bubble teams, Valparaiso, Missouri State, and Indiana State all making it to the semifinals. So it's going to be really interesting to see where those three, you know, if any of those teams end up in one, maybe two, who knows? It's going to be
definitely
really interesting.
Moving on to the Mountain West, 1-seeded UNLV. They had a pretty easy run. They knocked off San Jose State by 16. They knocked off 4-seeded Fresno State by 12. And then they beat Boise State by 18, a 2-seed there in the championship. So they are your Mountain West automatic representative in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think this one was a case of whoever won the tournament was going to have, you know, they were going to be the, I mean, obviously they make it in the tournament, but the loser of this championship game, they're squarely on the bubble. I mean, Boise State comes in with a 49 SOR, you know, win over a 7-seed, win over San Diego State, another bubble team. It's going to be interesting to see about those two, who's going to make it in,
yeah,
if anybody.
Looking at the Northeast tournament, St. Francis PA, they pull off 3 consecutive upsets. They knock off Fairleigh Dickinson in the first round. They knock off They knock off Wagner in the semifinals, and then they knock off Robert Morris in the championship to advance to the NCAA tournament, 62-61 in that championship game.
Yeah, here's your Cinderella story if you want one. St. Francis of PA was 7th coming into the season in the Northeast Conference. They're 9-19 with a 3.18 SOR coming into the conference tournament.
They are going dancing. In the Ohio Valley, this is a conference that has gotten stronger every season, I believe, in the Heat Check Sim. And this year, a little bit of a surprise, maybe more than that, Austin Peay knocks off Belmont 65-61. The 6-seed knocks off the 4-seed in the championship.
Yeah, this is – oh, man, I feel for this conference. They have some really, really strong teams. Tennessee Tech, really strong team. Southeast Missouri State, Eastern Kentucky, Belmont, just great top 100 SOR teams. And Austin Peay, it's the bid. I don't know if we're going to see a 2-bid Ohio Valley, but man, I feel for
those
teams.
That's
really
brutal
do.
For them to see. Definitely. They knock off, like you said, they knock off Eastern Kentucky. They knock off Southeast Missouri State, and then they beat Belmont to finish the job. Let's move on to the Pac-12. Arizona, it seems like they're in the championship game every year in the Pac-12. This year they knock off Oregon 67-53. Arizona was the 3-seed. You know, Utah was the 1-seed. They ended up losing to Oregon in the semifinals, and so Oregon ultimately falls to Arizona. But this is a conference tournament that has been pretty wild in the past and a pretty exciting tournament, it looks like this year as well, but Arizona finishes the job.
Yeah, Arizona just has that pedigree. You know, they just, it seems like every year Arizona's either, you know, doing great in recruiting or doing great in the conference tournament or doing great in the NCAAs. They're just
a machine down there going right now. In the Patriot, this one, you know, this is a conference that gets a ton of love in Discord. It's great analysis. Best in the heat check sim, I would say, by probably a pretty wide margin at this point, just with the stuff they're pumping out every cycle. So this is one that I know is going to garner a lot of attention. In the championship game, 3-seeded Lehigh knocks off 1st-seeded Lafayette 56-52.
Oh man, that's a rough go for Lafayette. You know, this they have such a strong team, and they are in such an interesting position coming into their conference tournament at a 40 SOR and not getting the automatic bid. So, is this another potential bubble burst? Are they going to be in? Are they going
to
be out?
Yeah, that's nerve-wracking at this point. They definitely wanted to get that automatic bid. They are definitely on the edge of their seat at this point. Moving on to the Sun Belt, you've got 6-seeded Appalachian State knocks off 1st-seeded Coastal Carolina. So another bubble team. I mean, I don't know that Coastal will get in, but I mean, they were a strong team. Appalachian State knocks them off. It's just disappointing when you win your conference regular season championship and then you're not able to finish the job. And so now you're probably looking at being outside of the tournament. You know, you still get that NIT bid, but it's disappointing nonetheless. Appalachian State, congrats to them, exciting run as they knocked off, you know, the 3-seed, the 2-seed, and the 1-seed to get the job done.
You know, the interesting thing about this is Appalachian State was actually the second seeded team coming into the season, like the second best Sun Belt team, and they fell to the 6-seed. Which isn't surprising because the top, I want to say 8 teams in the Sun Belt are all within like one of each other. I think the best team is a 9.9 and the 8th place team is an 8.9. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how close, how stacked, how tight that conference is. But in my opinion, people may be surprised by this result, but I am not surprised at Appalachian State.
Yeah, they, like you said, it sounds like they definitely had a kind of a disappointing regular season, but they clearly were able to figure it out at the right time. Get it all clicking. And yeah, like I said, they knock off 3-seeded Troy, 2-seeded Georgia Southern, and 1-seeded Coastal Carolina to win the Sun Belt. Moving on to the SoCon, 1-seed Samford knocks off 3-seed VMI in the championship in a thriller, 74-73.
Yeah, this is a great conference tournament to follow. I think we're only going to get one bid here. I think that Chattanooga would have been a bubble team had they beaten Wofford and maybe made it to the final, but a quarterfinal loss, I think Chattanooga.
Yeah, definitely unfortunate for them. Let's move on to the SEC. No surprise here. Number one, Kentucky. They knock off 2-seeded South Carolina in overtime. Another great championship game, 83-80. Lots of chalk here. There was one minor upset. Georgia was able to knock off Texas A&M in the quarterfinals, but other than that, chalk in the SEC.
Yep, this is a solid 6-team conference here. I don't think Vanderbilt and Auburn have enough to get in. They did lose in the quarterfinals, and they were squarely out to begin with. So I would see this as a solid 6-team.
Fair enough. Let's move on to Southland. Stephen F. Austin as a 4-seed knocks off 3-seeded Incarnate Word by 10. They earn the Southland's automatic berth, Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, that's a did not see that one coming. I think we are all under the impression this is going to be New Orleans' year. 25-3 with a 100 SOR coming in, and Stephen F. Austin gets the better of him in the semifinals. So kudos to Stephen F. Austin, and we'll see what New Orleans can do in the
NIT. New Orleans with that 25-3 record coming in, you have them squarely in the NIT. Oof, that's a tough result to swallow for them for sure. Moving on to the Summit, the 3-seeded Purdue Fort Wayne knocks off 5-seeded South Dakota, 63-60. Definitely not a result you were looking for your South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
Yeah, you know, not the result we were looking for, but we did lose to them in the semifinals. Purdue Fort Wayne was the best team coming into the season. So just looking at it, no surprise that they won. They've had a really good season. The thing to watch here is Oral Roberts, you know, that Cinderella team going 16-0 in conference, 24-4 SOR 46 come in, knocked out by the 8-seed North Dakota State in the quarterfinals. So what does that mean? Oral Roberts, sorry, did they do enough? I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. They are sweating it for sure right now. In the SWAC, 3-seeded Arkansas Pine Bluff knocks off 4-seeded Prairie View A&M in overtime, 80-77. It's one of two overtime games they had in the tournament, and they won them both, and they earned that March Madness bid with some free basketball.
Man, they sure did. That the top three in that conference, Texas Southern, Arkansas Pine Bluff, and Grambling State, they are programs on the rise. I think that they're going to be, you know, it's tough to boost your SOR when you have such, you know, such the bottom feeders in that conference. But I think that those are teams that we should be watching.
Definitely. For the next few years. Let's move on to the WAC. First seeded Chicago State knocks off 2-seeded UMKC. There was lots of chalk in this one, but ultimately Chicago State wins it in a nail biter, 61-60. They are in the WAC's automatic berth.
Yeah, here's another conference that's just absolutely insane. A conference where the best team coming into the season was an 8.275 in UMKC, and the worst team in the conference was a 7.513. So, you know, lots of parity in this league, and kudos to Chicago State. You know, in the heat check sim universe, you guys
are definitely not. Not in the fake. Oh, yeah, not in the heat check sim. Let's go to the WCC, the final one. You know, last season, Gonzaga was down. They were in the 90s, I believe, in strength of roster in season three. And they rebounded in no time at all as they earned the one seed in the conference tournament, winning that regular season championship. And then they also get the job done in the tournament. They knock off 3-seeded BYU 70-67 in the championship.
Yeah, good to see Gonzaga bounce back. They did, like you said, they did have a really struggle last season. The team here that's going to be interesting to watch is San Diego. San Diego comes in with a 22-6 record, 52 SOR, and loses in the quarterfinal to Santa Clara. So are they going to be – do they have a strong enough resume to get into the tournament, or is they – or is
how? Yeah, this is interesting. Like? There were a lot of results that directly impacted the bubble in these tournaments, and a lot of them were for the worst case for the teams that are sitting on the bubble. That there were some surprising results that resulted in you know, some teams getting in that weren't expected, and it's gonna have an interesting impact. So with that being said, let's take a look at let's kind of set the stage for the bracket reveal. Let's look at your bracketology. You had a really successful bracketology in season three, and I'm curious to see, you know, first of all, kind of let's go through the bubble, and then after that we can go through you know, maybe the top four seeds in each region and kind of see how you expect it to play out before we get into the bracket reveal itself.
Yeah, this season was a little strange because usually I wait until after all the getting the conference tournament results, and then we would see the updated standings and updated SORs. But this year, you know, we were gracious enough to see the results a little early. So I haven't actually seen the final SORs yet. So this year I kind of had to do some guessing, and I actually had to kind of go away from my formula and use my human element a little more. So I'm nervous to see how it pans out this year, but we'll see how it goes. So let's start with the bubble. Let's go my last four buys. So these are the teams that I think don't have to worry about the play-in game, but they're going to be they're the last ones in with a bye. So I have Lafayette, Oregon, UCLA, St. Joe's. My last four in, I have Temple, Drexel, Central Florida, and Boise State. Now my first four out, I have Dayton, Virginia Commonwealth, Oral Roberts, San Diego. And then finally, my next four out, I have Maryland, Clemson, Valparaiso.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a strong list of teams. And like you said, a lot of these teams are teams that we mentioned that had results that could have been directly affected in the conference tournament itself. So it's going to be really interesting to see how you played out. And like you said, Eli did send us the conference tournament results, but that's all we have other than the bracket itself, which obviously you performed your bracketology before looking at the final bracket. But beyond that, we don't have the final standings. We don't have the final strength of records. And so, like you said, you had to use a little more human element than you would have typically done or typically preferred. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but that kind of sets the stage just for those bubble teams that are really going to be hoping to hear their names. And if not, they'll likely see them in the NIT, but obviously hoping to go dancing. So looking at, let's start with the one seeds. Who are the four teams that you're expecting to see on that one line?
I think the four teams that I have on the top line, I have North Carolina, I have Butler, I have Duke, and I have Minnesota. Now, the first three I feel very solidly about. That fourth one, Minnesota, I leaned back and forth between them and maybe someone like Kentucky, maybe someone like Wisconsin. But in the end, I was looking at Minnesota and Kentucky both won their conference tournament. And coming into the conference tournaments, Minnesota had a slightly higher strength of record, and they also played in a better conference. So I gave the nod to Minnesota.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll see how that plays out as well. I know, yeah, definitely. You definitely like to be on the one line. Two seeds have had some success as well recently, obviously, but that there's some pride element that goes into getting that one as well. So let's run through quickly just who you have as your top four seeds then for each region, you know, just to kind of see who's kind of battling it out at the top. And then right after that, we'll get into the March Madness bracket reveal itself.
Okay, so my overall number one seed, I have North Carolina out of the South region. And then I have Wisconsin as the two. I have Cincinnati as the three. And then I have Texas as the four. My second number one is Butler out of the Midwest region. And I have Kentucky number two, Iowa number three, and Pittsburgh number four. My third number one in the East region is Duke. And then I have Michigan State at the two, Connecticut as the three, and Arizona as the four. And then my fourth number one, as we mentioned earlier, is Minnesota out of the West region. And I have Utah second. I have Louisville number three, and I have Villanova.
Yeah, a couple just quick notes. We mentioned Michigan State earlier. They have the number two strongest roster in the country coming into the season, seventh SOR going into the Big Ten tournament. But they do lose that first game to Purdue. So like you said, you have them as a two seed. It'll be interesting. They're going to be on that line. Are they going to be a two? Are they going to be a three? It'd be surprising to see them drop any further than that. But, you know, yeah, that's one team to look out for. And then another thing that's interesting, this is a team that you didn't mention, is Kansas State. They had a disappointing season. They had, I believe it was the sixth strongest roster coming into the season. And, I mean, you don't even have them listed as a top four seed in any of your regions. So, I mean, they're basically on the outside looking in terms of, you know, those top 16 teams.
Yeah, they're going to be an interesting one to see. They came in with a 19 SOR, but that semifinal loss, that could be the thing that keeps them out of those top 16.
All right, here we are. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. We're 33 minutes into this podcast or so, just right around that mark. And I know everyone's waiting. We've covered the conference tournaments. We've covered the bracketology. The table is set. Let's get into it. Let's start with the one seeds. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to announce each one seed, and I'm going to give you a little background on each one seed, and then we're going to move on. So let's start with the overall number one seed. It's out of the Midwest region, and it is your Butler Bulldogs from the Big East. They finished the season and the conference tournament with a record of 28-3, an extremely strong record. They earned an at-large bid. They fell in the conference championship to Villanova, so it didn't impact their seeding at all, obviously, as they still get that overall number one. But some key wins for Butler this year: they were able to knock off Pittsburgh twice on a neutral court and at home. They knocked off number eight Kentucky. They knocked off number 17 Texas Tech, number 10 Illinois, number 22 Indiana, number one Creighton, and number 19 Villanova. Those rankings are at the time of the matchup, not the final season rankings, just as a note. And then they didn't have any bad losses. They lost to Creighton. They lost to Villanova twice. So this is a team that essentially beat everyone they were supposed to beat all year. And they I don't think there's much you can say to argue with the overall number one. I know you had North Carolina, but you know, at this point, we're kind of splitting hairs.
Butler is a clear number one. I the number one overall seed. I kind of felt the ACC is a little stronger, but Big East has is very top heavy, and I think that it's a very looking at their resume. I mean, that is that's a sterling resume right there. You can't. I mean, you can't
yeah,
complain
I think,
about that
I think
resume at
you're
all.
Absolutely right. I think the ACC is a tougher conference as a whole. But the fact that Butler had no bad losses, I just listed off all their really strong non-conference wins. They had six non-conference wins against ranked teams, which is just incredibly impressive in a 12-game non-conference schedule. And yeah, I mean, I can't argue. You know, there are two key players. The two key players that I want to mention, they have a junior power forward, Austin Harrington. He's an 18.8 overall. He averages almost 20 and five rebounds a game. And then shooting guard, junior Costa Curran, he's an 18.3, averages 17 points and two rebounds, two assists per game. And this team has one senior on the team, so they'll lose him. But every other player on the team has high loyalty. So is this going to be a situation where we have these absolute studs at the top of the roster returning, even though they could easily go to the pros and get a payday? Are these guys the type of guys that would stick around for a senior season? I think it could potentially depend on the result of this tournament. If they win the championship, I feel like it'd be a little easier to ride out into the sunset. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. That'll be interesting because this team could be even stronger next year. Moving on. Yeah, moving on to North Carolina. I was going to say the one thing I think that's, you know, might have been the differentiator between these two teams is – the bad loss that North Carolina has. It was well advertised. Everyone talked about it at the time. They lost at Missouri State 69-68. I believe they're favored by something like 20 points. But North Carolina, they are your second number one seed. They're out of the South region. I don't want to highlight that loss too powerfully because they had a really strong season. They're obviously your reigning national champions. They started the season as your number one team in the country. They had not only the best roster this season, but they have the best roster in the history of the Heat Check Sim. They come out of the ACC. They win the ACC championship. I mean, they had a really fantastic resume. They knocked off Texas. It was ranked 18 at the time, 6th ranked Minnesota, 19th ranked Georgia Tech, 24th ranked Clemson, 14th ranked Pitt. They beat 5th ranked Louisville twice. They also beat Gonzaga, Purdue, Maryland, South Carolina in their non-conference. And then they beat Duke in the ACC final, which is a huge win. They had lost to Duke twice in ACC play, as I mentioned previously, but getting that win in the ACC final, I think clearly separated themselves and they earned their one seed undoubtedly.
Absolutely agree with you. I think that this is a note for all of you amateur bracketologists in the Heat Check Sim universe. If you want to have a good bracketology, just make sure that you put North Carolina on the top. You'll be right almost all the time. North Carolina is the best program in this universe. Just looking at this really quickly, they going into this tournament, they have a total record in 4 years of 116-22. I mean, this team is just head and shoulders. This team is the program that you want to be, and no other place for them to be.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned that record, and it's just extremely impressive when you note they're coming from the ACC. You know, they're playing against Duke and Louisville, and those teams, they're playing those teams twice every year. Those teams are they've been, you know, top five consistently in the sim. So they're battling with really strong teams, and they're winning more times than not. Two key players for them are the Bennett boys. They've got a junior power forward, Brooks Bennett, and a senior power forward, Mike Bennett. They're both from Alabama. I'm not 100% sure on whether or not they're related, but, you know, Brooks is a 17.8 overall. Mike is 17.2. They average 18 and 5 and 17 and 5, respectively. Those guys definitely make North Carolina tough to deal with down low, and they're going to be really tough for anyone they match up with in the NCAA tournament. Moving on to the third number one seed out of the East region, it is your Kentucky Wildcats from the SEC. Yeah, this one's a little surprising. They were not on your one line in the bracketology, but they finished the season with a 27-4 record. They earned the automatic bid, winning the SEC championship in the conference tournament, and they have a great resume. You know, they beat 12th ranked Minnesota, they beat 22nd ranked Indiana, 3rd ranked Louisville, they beat Kansas, they beat Notre Dame, they beat Florida, Georgia, South Carolina on the road, and then they beat South Carolina in that thriller in the championship in the SEC. And then, you know, they do have some losses. You know, they lost to Mississippi, they lost to Vandy, who's one of those bubble teams. They lost to Butler, which isn't a bad loss, obviously, but that's a notable game. And then their one bad loss is, you know, Arkansas Little Rock in a shocker. They lost 70-68 at home in that one.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue with this. And the thing that jumps out on me right there is right there on key wins in that top spot right there, a neutral court key win over Minnesota. If you're comparing teams and you're trying to see who could win on a neutral yeah. court, there it is right there. There's Kentucky's your number one seed. Minnesota should probably be a two.
Yeah, I mean, right, what better evidence do you need? You know, it's on a neutral floor. They get matched up directly, and it was a resounding 12-point win. So it wasn't extremely close either. So I think that game probably, like you said, separated Kentucky from Minnesota, and it earned them the third number one overall seed, or number one seed. Moving on to the fourth and final one seed out of the West region, it is your Duke Blue Devils from the ACC, the second ACC team to get a one seed this season following North Carolina's footsteps. They finished with a record of 26-5. They earned an at-large bid as they fell to North Carolina in the ACC championship game. They have some great wins. They beat North Carolina twice. They beat Pittsburgh. They beat Clemson. They beat Oklahoma, St. Joe's, Maryland, West Virginia, South Carolina in their non-con. And then they don't have any bad losses. They've lost some games to a bunch of ranked teams. They lost to Pitt. They lost to Louisville. They lost to Georgia Tech, Texas, and then UNC. So this team, they didn't do anything wrong. You know, they lost some games that are definitely excusable losses. And they finish or they started the season with the 14th strongest roster, but they performed extremely well, and they earned that final one seed.
Yeah, they did exactly what they were supposed to do, and here they are, right where they belong.
All right, so now that we've touched on and given you some background on the one seed, let's get into the bracket reveal itself. This is the moment all you bubble teams have been waiting for, so let's dive into it. The number one overall seed in the Midwest region, the Butler Bulldogs, they earned that. They earned an at-large bid from the Big East. They are going to face off against the winner of St. Francis PA versus Stetson. So that's your NEC conference champions versus your Atlantic Sun conference champions. That's your first matchup, or your first play-in matchup, St. Francis versus Stetson. At moving down the bracket, your eight seed is the Oregon Ducks out of the Pac-12. They earned an at-large bid. And then they will face nine-seeded Notre Dame out of the ACC. Five-seeded Texas from the Big 12 will take on 12-seeded Radford out of the Big South. Like we mentioned, they were 19-0 in their conference, including the 3-0 run in their conference tournament. And so we were curious where they'd get seeded. They get the 12 seed. They take on the Texas Longhorns. Moving down the bracket, fourth seed is Michigan State. They earned an at-large bid from the Big Ten. And then they face Illinois State, the automatic berth from the Missouri Valley. The sixth seed, Texas A&M, an at-large from the SEC, and they will take on the Mountain West's Boise State, another at-large bid. So that's an at-large bid from the Mountain West there. We've got three-seeded Cincinnati from the American taking on 14-seeded Purdue-Fort Wayne, the automatic bid from the Summit. We've got, moving down, we've got seven-seeded Rutgers from the Big Ten earned an at-large bid, and they will face 10-seed Lafayette from the Patriot League, earning an at-large bid out of the Patriot. Two-seeded Louisville, an at-large from the ACC, will take on the automatic berth from the Sun Belt Appalachian State. So that is your Midwest region.
Wow, couple things. Michigan State falling to a four.
That's
interesting. Going to be interested to see that SOR. When we see that after this is released. And then, you know, Bubble Watch, Boise State as an 11, Lafayette as a 10. Lafayette, that's a team that's a very interesting spot for them. Playing Rutgers in the first round, that's one I would.
Yeah, that's like you said, two bubble teams getting some good news early on. They don't have to wait too long at all to hear their fate. So good for them. Like you said, Michigan State falling to a 4 seed, basically based on, it sounds like, one loss to Purdue. That is a very surprising result. Like we said, we'll take on 13-seeded Illinois State from the Missouri Valley. Radford, I touched on, they were 12-seed last year. They lost to the eventual runner-up in the NCAA tournament, Illinois. They'll take on Texas this year. So we'll see if they can get a different result, or maybe Texas will make a similar run. Who knows? But, those 5-12 matchups are always fun. Definitely, yeah. I mean, Boise State and Texas A&M, that's another matchup I could potentially see an upset. Boise State comes in with a strength of roster of 67 from the Mountain West, Texas A&M from the SEC, 19th strength of roster. So, that's a matchup I could definitely – see some an upset, but yeah, I mean, this is a strong region. Michigan State is a nightmare as a 4 seed for first seeded Butler, but I mean, that's a matchup I think everyone's kind of looking forward to. Should we get it in the Elite Eight or Sweet 16? Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. It's Michigan State as a 4 is gonna put a huge monkey wrench in Butler's quest for a national championship. Them and but let's keep an eye. Maybe Michigan State doesn't make it out of round 32. They do have Radford in that little bubble region there. So
yeah, it's hard to argue Radford's not the hottest team in the country with all the wins they've strung together. So that's going to be interesting to see how they perform this year again. Moving down the bracket to the West region, we'll start off. This is your 4th overall 1 seed, the Duke Blue Devils, and they're going to face the winner of the Stephen F. Austin versus Chicago State matchup. So that's your Southland automatic berth versus the WAC automatic berth. Those two teams will earn the right. One of those two teams will earn the right to face the Duke Blue Devils in the round of 64. And then moving down, we've got 8-seed UNLV, the automatic berth from the Mountain West, taking on 9-seed in Michigan from the Big Ten. We've got 5-seeded Kansas State. So that's another team we talked about earlier. They are from the Big 12. They're in an at-large bid. And they are going to face the winner of St. Joseph's from the Atlantic 10 and UCLA from the Pac-12. So, you've got one of your first 4 matchups there. You've got some more bubble teams hearing their fate there. Moving on to the next matchup, we've got 4-seed South Carolina from the SEC earns an at-large bid, while the automatic berth from the Big Sky is Weber State, who they will face off against. 6-seed Gonzaga from the WCC will take on 11-seed Baylor from the Big 12. Baylor is another at-large. It's an interesting matchup there for sure. We'll talk about that one, I'm sure. Moving down, the 3-seed from the region goes to Utah. They had an at-large bid from the Pac-12, and they will face Arkansas Pine Bluff, the automatic bid from the SWAC. 7-seed goes to Western Michigan. They earn an at-large out of the MAC. And they will take on Indiana, an at-large bid from the Big Ten. And finally, we've got 2-seeded Minnesota, the automatic berth from the Big Ten, taking on the automatic berth from the Big West, UC Davis, the 15-seed there.
Yeah, some interesting seeds here. St. Joe's and UCLA, both teams I had on the bubble, had last 4 byes. So interesting to see them down there in the play-in game. For me, Baylor and Indiana, those are some seeds. I'm very interested to see these SORs. I had them right in about the 8-9 range. And especially to see Baylor drop to an 11, I'm very interested to see what their SOR is. But kudos to Western Michigan. That program, they've just been doing some great things over the last few years, rewarded with a 7-seed this year. Mark that down. That's MAC number 1. Let's see.
Yeah, definitely. This region has a bunch of interesting matchups. You've got the 8-9 game is UNLV versus Michigan. Michigan's actually got the stronger roster, the lower seed, but the stronger roster. So that could be a minor upset in terms of seed line in that first round. Kansas State, we talked about, is the 6th strongest roster in the country, and they only earn a 5-seed. So they're going to take on, like we said, the winner of St. Joe's and UCLA. Those are both top 40 teams in strength of roster. So that won't be an easy matchup for them in the round of 64 for Kansas State. You know, Weber State as a 13 seed, they have the 79th strongest roster. That's not an easy game for South Carolina. They can't love that draw. Gonzaga, they get 11 seed of Baylor is 49th in strength of roster. You know, fourth strongest roster. Utah gets a 3 seed, so a little worse than they expected. And then you have to touch on Western Michigan, like you said, really strong seed for them this year, but they did not get any favors as they face off against Indiana, who's got the 23rd strongest roster. So, I personally, I'm a mid-major coach myself. I love to see the mid-major teams do well. Happy they got a high seed. I'm hoping they can win that game. But in terms of, you know, what the spread will look like, I think they'll actually be the underdog in that game. All right, yeah, so let's unveil some more teams. Let's move on to the South region, where the one seed is North Carolina from the ACC. They will take on the 16 seed Delaware State, the automatic berth from the MEAC. Moving down the bracket, the 8 seed in the South region goes to Monmouth from the MAAC. They were the automatic berth winner there. And they will take on another at-large bid from the MAC, Miami of Ohio, the 9 seed there. Mississippi is your 5th seed in the South region. They will take on the winner of Dayton versus Drexel. So Dayton comes as an at-large bid from the Atlantic 10. Drexel is an at-large from the Colonial. That'll be a fantastic matchup. Another first four matchup, two more bubble teams. The 4th seed in the South region is the Villanova Wildcats. They will take on 13-seeded Samford from the SoCon, the automatic berth from the SoCon. 6th seed in the South region goes to the Kansas Jayhawks from the Big 12, and they will take on the Temple Owls, the 11th seed, an at-large bid from the American. 3 seed in the South region goes to Arizona from the Pac-12, and they will take on the automatic berth from the Atlantic 10, George Washington. The 7th seed goes to the automatic berth from the Horizon Wright State, and they will take on the 10 seed Texas Tech from the Big 12. And then 2 seed in the South region goes to Iowa from the Big 10, and they will take on Austin Peay from the OVC.
Wow, Drexel, right by the hair on their chinny chin chin, making it into the tournament. I'm going to say that they are the last team in. Looking at that, just of those four teams there, I think Dayton and Drexel are your last two in, and that, man, wow, Drexel. Wright State with a 7 seed, awesome. Monmouth with an 8. Monmouth and Miami of Ohio right there. That's going to be an awesome game for us mid-major fanatics right here. There's Miami of Ohio. There's MAC number 2 right there. So I think we've confirmed that you're going to get a 3-bid MAC with Eastern Michigan as the auto bid. So congratulations to the Mid-American Conference.
That is, yeah. 3 bids. Yeah, go keep going. Impressive. Sorry.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting region. I mean, Arizona as the 3 with the 3rd strength of roster. Texas Tech and Wright State. I mean, Texas Tech would probably be the favorite in that game as a 10. Mississippi, I mean, you've got, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4 of your top 10 strength of rosters are in this region. This is going to be a fun region. And 5 of them are in three of them are in the top half.
Yeah, this might be your region of death. It kind of looks like you said, 4 of those top 10 rosters are all in this region. That's a tough draw for North Carolina. North Carolina, I mean, not that they should be worried too much, but they actually also, to this point, they're getting the worst draw in terms of their first round matchup. Delaware State, they have the 151st strength of roster. It's really strong for, you know, a 16 seed, and they're hot right now as well. But I know Monmouth and Miami of Ohio will be chomping at the bit to try to get a chance to see what they're made of against North Carolina. So that'll be a fantastic matchup, like you touched on. Yeah, definitely exciting for Dayton and Drexel to get in, but they're going to have to earn their way into the round of 64. And so, yeah, they didn't do quite enough to earn a bye. But, yeah, that's a first four matchup that'll be really fun to watch. You know.
And think about this. Think about this. North Carolina, if you map out their potential path to the Final Four, just the favorites. They beat Delaware State. They play Monmouth, potentially. They beat them. They play Villanova. They beat them. They play Arizona. I mean, that's like murderer's row right there. You know, if they get whoever gets to the final
four, yeah, that, yeah, you said, I mean, yeah, so Arizona's your three seed with that third strongest roster, but Iowa, I mean, they cannot be thrilled with that two seed getting Arizona's the three. Iowa has the 17th strongest roster. And I mean, they're looking at potentially playing Arizona in the Sweet 16, which is just not a matchup they want to see. Obviously, they both have some work to do to get there, but you know, just looking ahead, that would be interesting. And yeah, Arizona would definitely be favored in that game. The Big 12 doesn't get it.
Yeah, and if Arizona gets knocked right out, Iowa could have to face Kansas. I mean,
definitely. I mean, the Big 12 fun. They just didn't earn a lot of respect, it seems like, this year. Kansas won the Big 12 regular season championship and the conference tournament, and they get a six seed, which is worse than what Kansas State got. I mean, that seems a little surprising to me. I think they probably earned a little higher seed this year, but yeah, they get a six seed in this region. Not a great draw for them, and it just adds to how difficult this region is going to be. All right, let's move on. This is it. The last 16 teams. I think we've already done all of our first four matchups. So the last 16 teams from the East region, your number one seed, as we mentioned, is the Kentucky Wildcats, the automatic berth from the SEC. And they will face off against the automatic berth winner from the America East, UMBC. The eight seed goes to Georgia Tech, an at-large bid from the ACC, and they will take on Florida Atlantic, the automatic berth from the Conference USA. A good seed for them there. The Washington Huskies are your five seed in the East region from the Pac-12. They will take on, like you said, that third MAC team, Eastern Michigan, who earned it via winning the conference championship. And then the four seed goes to the Pittsburgh Panthers, an at-large from the ACC. They will take on the automatic berth from the Colonial, James Madison. The six seed goes to Old Dominion. This is a team you said was safely in, and you were right, from Conference USA as an at-large. They will take on the Florida Gators, the 11th seed from the SEC. So a little bit of a drop this year for Florida, but they still get into the tournament. They'll be a tough out for sure. Wisconsin is the three seed from the Big Ten, and they will take on 14 seed Princeton from the Ivy League, the automatic berth there. And then 7 seed goes to Georgia. They will take on 10 seeded Illinois, the reigning national semifinalist. Wow. And a team that, like we mentioned, didn't make the conference tournament even. Those are both at-large bids from the SEC and the Big Ten, respectively. And then finally, Connecticut as the 2 seed will take on 15 seed Lehigh. So great seed there for UConn.
Yeah, UConn's in a pretty solid position there. Illinois making it in as a 10. Very interesting. Very interesting. I know we did some, I think someone in the Discord had mentioned to me that Tennessee last year had a 49, I think, SOR. So I'm very interested to see where Illinois finished up after the conference tournament. As a 10 seed, I would think that it probably finished in the 35 to 40 range. They came in at 29, so that'll be interesting to see. Florida as an 11, that they were a bubble team. That's very interesting to see Florida come in as a bubble team. I mean, they did lose in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament, so I guess it's not a surprise, but it's kind of a surprise to me there. And then I think that the big story here is going to be Old Dominion with a 6 seed. I want to say that's going to be that's the highest of the mid majors.
There were 7, yeah.
Western, yep. Michigan was up there as well. I think they were 7 seed, but yeah, Old Dominion as a 6, kudos to them. They've just been, they've had a great season all year. And I think that this bracket, the way this lays out, we have the potential for an all-conference USA Elite Eight with Florida Atlantic and Old Dominion. So, you know, there's your
sleeper. Definitely, yeah. No, I want to touch on that Illinois point again, too. I mean, that's a team, they don't make the Big Ten Conference Tournament. And, I mean, in retrospect, it makes you wonder if it actually played out better for them, because had they made it, they likely would have played a team like Michigan State at the top of the top of the conference, and had they lost, I wonder if that would have been enough to knock them off. I probably not, considering they got a 10 seed, but you never know. And so it kind of turns out that, you know, not making the conference tournament in this case worked to their advantage. And they get, yeah, a 10 seed. So they weren't even that close to the bubble, to be honest.
Yeah, it makes me kind of intrigued to see how the SOR is actually calculated, because was it better for them that they didn't make it in, or maybe a win or a loss against Michigan
yeah,
State
that's true
could
too.
Have potentially elevated that SOR, just having that game against a good team. So that makes me really intrigued to see actually how that's calculated.
Definitely, yeah. Maybe touching on some other games, like you said, I mean, yeah, you've got Kentucky at the top. Georgia Tech's got a really strong team, the 20th strongest strength of roster in the country, and they're an 8 seed. So Kentucky cannot love that draw. That's a potential round of 32 matchup for them. Georgia Tech, they are battle-tested. They're from the ACC. They've played a ton of tough teams this year. So Kentucky will not intimidate them one bit. So that would not be a shocking upset in the round of 32. You know, Washington is a very solid 5 seed from the Pac-12. Pittsburgh is a very, very solid 4 seed from the ACC. You touched on Old Dominion. You touched on the fact that Florida is on the bubble. You know, Florida is likely going to be favored in that matchup. I know you mentioned the potential Conference USA Elite Eight, but, I mean, that's going to be a tough road for Old Dominion. They got to get through Florida, who they'll likely be an underdog in their first round matchup, and then second round is likely Wisconsin, who's another really, really strong team this year from the Big Ten. So they can't be thrilled with the way the seeds fell out. I mean, I know they're happy they got a 6. That's really impressive, but they can't love their matchups in the first round or the round of 32 the way it looks like it's going to play out. And then you know, that 7-10 matchup is going to be a really fun one. Georgia and Illinois, those teams are really even. You know, either of those teams could give Connecticut fits in the second round as well. So those are two teams where you could easily see a scenario where the winner of that game makes a run to the Sweet 16, if not further. All right. So at this point, you know, we've gone through the whole bracket. Congrats to the teams that got in. I feel for those teams that were on the bubble that didn't make it. We're not going to do an NIT reveal in this episode, but you'll be able to see the way that bracket fell out, you know, the night this comes out. So good luck to you and in the NIT, to those teams that didn't make the tournament. Congratulations to all the teams that did. At this point, let's go into a little bit of a conference breakdown. We're going to just go into some detail about the conferences that got multiple bids. You know, it's a lot of the similar same old suspects, but there are some interesting ones at the bottom. We touched on some of them, but let's go through those one by one. So let's start off. The Big Ten earns the most bids. They earn eight bids. Eight teams from the Big Ten out of their 14 make the big dance. That's really impressive. They get 2 seeds. They get a 3 seed, a 4 seed, and then the bottom four are all between 7 and 10. So really strong season from the Big Ten yet again.
Yeah, they are clearly the best conference this year. It's the team I feel for the most here is Purdue. You know, Purdue makes a run to the semifinals of the conference tournament. They get knocked out and they don't even get in the tournament. And a team who does not make the conference tournament, Illinois, gets in. So sorry, Boilermakers, but yeah, Big Ten.
Yeah, definitely interesting that they couldn't knock out Illinois with that win over Michigan State. But the Big Ten is going to be really well represented nonetheless. They have 4 teams with a top 17 strength of roster. So you've definitely got a bunch of teams that are gonna make some noise in this tournament likely and could potentially make Final Four runs. Let's move on to the ACC. The ACC gets 6 bids. So you got 2 of those we mentioned have 1 seeds, North Carolina and Duke. Louisville got a 2 seed. Pittsburgh gets a 4. Georgia Tech, we mentioned, gets an 8. And then Notre Dame is your 6th one. They get a 9.
Same thing with this one. I think with the Power Five conferences, all these teams that made it in, it was one of those. Definitely. You look at them and you're just like, yep, that's a tournament team. I mean, it's, you know, look at all these teams and these guys are just.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, this conference is just extremely loaded at the top. You've got 5 teams that are in the top 20 in strength of roster. Georgia Tech is an 8 seed is a nightmare for those 9 seed. I believe it's Florida Atlantic that has to play them. That's not fun at all. And like we said about them, they're battle tested. Everyone from the ACC is, but they definitely have a lot of teams that could make a run, potentially win this whole thing. So let's move on to the SEC. This is another conference that got six teams. They get Kentucky as a one seed, South Carolina a four, Mississippi a five, Texas A&M a six, Georgia a seven, and then that surprising Florida 11 seed comes in at the, as the lowest of the seeds for the SEC.
Yeah, definitely six teams this year. You know, six teams would be very great for any conference, but I think for the SEC, they would have been wanting more. They kind of took a step back as a conference this year, and I think that we'll see how they bounce back next year. We'll see if Florida can make rise their way back up the tables. Maybe a team like Tennessee can kind of regain their former glory, and maybe we'll see these guys back at the top of the table.
Moving on to the Big 12, they get five bids, and I kind of touched on this. It feels like the Big 12 is disrespected to some degree. Kansas State gets a five seed. Texas gets a five. Kansas gets a six as the conference regular season and tournament champion. Texas Tech gets a 10, and Baylor gets an 11.
You know, Big 12 was, I mean, they have some good teams, but they don't have any elite teams. I mean, Kansas State is elite with their strength of roster as a six, but they kind of underperformed this season in their scheduling. And I think that that's been shown right here in their seed. You know, they kind of, they could have probably scheduled better and maybe had themselves a higher seed. But I think that this is kind of where the Big 12 is this year, is kind of not necessarily an elite conference, but kind of right up there in that.
Definitely agree there. The Pac-12 is next. They also get five bids. They have two three seeds, Arizona and Utah. Those are two teams that were both top four in strength of roster coming into the season. Those are two teams that were hoping to get one seeds. I mean, when we were talking about it in the preseason. So for them to get threes is a little disappointing, but very strong teams nonetheless. They'll definitely be able to make noise. Washington gets a five seed, Oregon an eight, and UCLA at 12.
Yeah, another, you know, the Pac-12 has four really solid teams. UCLA's kind of right up in there as well. They are a better team strength-wise than Oregon, but they kind of underperformed this year. And, you know, this is another conference that they have distinct tiers of, you know, these are the elite. These are the teams that are kind of, you know, moving up, and interesting to see. I'd love to hear.
Definitely. Let's move to the next one, which is the American. So notice we're skipping the Big East. The American gets three bids. Which means the Big East did not get four or more. So the American gets three. They get a two seed Connecticut. They get a three seed Cincinnati, and then they get an 11 seed Temple, who's on the bubble a little bit, but two very high seeds for the American. They have to be happy with that result this season.
Yeah, those two teams are going to make some noise, and they're going to be even better next year. This conference is. It's Connecticut and Cincinnati's conference to win.
Yeah, two-team race, it looks like, for now and in the future. In the Atlantic 10, they get three bids. They get a 12-seed St. Joe's, a 12-seed Dayton. Those are both at-large bids on the right side of the bubble. And then you get 14-seed George Washington, who was an 8-seed in their conference tournament and won the whole thing.
Yep, got a feel for VCU in Rhode Island. They were right there, but they just could not make it in. Yeah, St. Joe's and Dayton both. See, they were both in the play-in game, so they were very much the last two of the last four in. So this is, it could have been a different story for the Atlantic.
Definitely in the MAC, you touched on it already. This is a three bid MAC. This is a really exciting result for them. They get a 7-seed Western Michigan, a 9-seed Miami of Ohio, and then a 12-seed Eastern Michigan, who earned that automatic berth. You got to think that automatic berth is what pushed them over the edge to get the 3rd seed. And yeah, just really exciting. They get 3 seeds this year. So that's an awesome year for the MAC.
Yeah, I felt that Western Michigan and Miami of Ohio were clearly in from the beginning. They're kind of in that point of, I feel like if you're up in like the mid to high 30 or the mid to low 30s and below, I think that you're pretty solidly safe to get an at-large bid. And I was very much excited to see Eastern Michigan win this to get that 3-bid MAC, because that's another channel in the Discord that's just a lot of fun to follow. Those guys, They know their basketball, and they
definitely
they do some good stuff.
From the Big East, they only get two teams this year. We touched on it. Creighton doesn't get in, but it's Butler as a one seed, and it's Villanova as a four. Seton Hall and Providence do not get in. It's a very disappointing season for the Big East.
Yeah, they just – I think that if it was flip-flopped, and I think that if Providence makes it to the semifinal and Seton Hall gets knocked out in the quarterfinal, we're talking about a three-bid Big East, but Providence losing in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. In the Colonial, we also get two teams, Drexel and James Madison. Drexel gets in as an at-large on the bubble. Like we touched on, a first four team, and they also get James Madison, who are in the automatic berth.
Yes, Drexel barely making it a two
bid. And then the Conference USA, they also get two bids, Old Dominion and Florida Atlantic, six seed and nine seed, respectively. Exciting result for Old Dominion, like you touched on. Tough matchup for Florida Atlantic with Georgia Tech in the first round, but they earned the right to be there, and they're gonna make it tough on Georgia Tech for sure.
Yeah, these two teams were they were very good teams all year, and both of them deserve to be in and to have really solid.
Now to the Mountain West, we've got two more teams. We've got UNLV from the Mountain West, and we've got Boise State from the Mountain West, the 8 seed and the 11 seed, respectively. UNLV earns the automatic berth, and then Boise gets an at-large bid.
Yeah, I figured that the team that lost that conference tournament would be really close. Boise State did just barely make it in. Feel for San Diego State. They had a really good season, ranked at one point, and just couldn't quite put it together at the end, but. You know, kudos to UNLV and Boise State.
And then finally, the Patriot League, they get two bids as well. Lafayette gets an at-large bid as the 10 seed, and Lehigh, the automatic berth, a 15 seed. I know Lafayette was sweating it there when we were going through the reveal, but they get in as the 10 seed, like we touched on.
Yeah, great for Lafayette. What can you say? That program is... That program's a great program. That conference is a great conference. It's fun to follow in the Discord. They're very active. If any conference should get two bids of the lower tiered conferences, I think the Patriot League is definitely one of them. And Lafayette is a 10. That's just a testament to their
definitely
their
coach agree. And their team. So that's your conference breakdown. Let's go into a little bit of region breakdown and kind of touch on, you know, which regions are maybe tougher than others, which. Seeds got good or bad draws, respectively. So, you know, I mean, starting at the top, we talked about the one seeds at length. The two seeds, you know, Minnesota was a team you thought could be on the one line. They ultimately, with the strength of roster of 12, they ended up on the two. Good result there, probably for them. Might have been in the one, like you said. Louisville, very strong two seed. They're in fact the best two seed with a strength of roster of 9. So Butler. Gets the overall one, but they get the toughest two seed in their region, which is a tough draw for them. And then, you know, Connecticut, they're the worst two seed in terms of roster strength, but I mean, they're a really strong team too. So that's a really good draw for them, getting that two seed in the Eastern region. I think if we're looking at these kind of holistically, like we said, I think the South is probably your toughest region. You know, the top four teams, the top four seeds are North Carolina, Iowa, Arizona, and Villanova with all strength of rosters in the top 17, with the two seed Iowa being 17th. But then Mississippi is also top 10. They're 10th in strength of roster as a 5 seed. You've got Kansas as a 6. And then, I mean, going down, even Monmouth as an 8 seed is 38th. Texas Tech as a 10 seed is 28th in strength of roster. Drexel as a 12 seed is 32nd. So, I mean, this region is going to be really tough. This is going to be one that I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy watching. And it's one that has two former national champions with North Carolina and Arizona.
Yeah, if you look at the strength of roster too, George Washington is a 14 seed, is a 77th strength of roster. So, I mean, you know, it's that I would agree with you. The South region is going to be the one that I really pay the most attention to. I think that it's, I mean, they've got some really, really top tier teams, but then that middle of the conference with, you know, Kansas, Wright State, Monmouth, Miami of Ohio, Texas Tech, Dayton, Drexel, Temple. I mean, there's that, the meat of that conference is just really, really strong. And I think that that's going to be very entertaining to watch. Yeah. And what's the other one? The West has got a lot of really good teams in the middle there too. Gonzaga, Western Michigan, UNLV, Michigan, Indiana, St. Joe's, UCLA. Just, I mean, those two, the West and the South, just they, you know, each, the conference, you know, you look at like the top four and it's like, okay, that's, you know, the breading is pretty good, you know, good on the other sides, but the meat in the West and the South.
Yeah. I mean, so really, in the West, I mean, like you said, the meat of the West is as good as it gets in terms of the strength of the seeds. The Kansas State is the 5 seed. They're the best 5 seed in terms of strength of roster. Michigan's the 9 seed. They're the best 9 seed in terms of strength of roster. Indiana's the 10, same for them. St. Joe's the 12, same for them. Weber State is the 13, same for them. So that's 5 teams in that 5 to 13 seed range that are all the best at their seed level in terms of strength of roster. So that's not great for, you know, Duke. Duke's not excited to hear that. Not only that, Duke comes in as the 1 seed with a strength of roster of 14. And surprisingly enough, that's the 4th best strength of roster in this region alone. You've got Utah as the 3 seed with the highest strength of roster at 4. Kansas State's the 5 seed, strength of roster of 6. And then Minnesota, strength of roster of 12 as the 2 seed. So Duke, in terms of just, you know, on paper, they're the 4th best team in this region, but you know, they did everything they were supposed to do. They earned the 1 seed. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do the same in the tournament or if one of these teams will surprise them and upset them. Moving over to, you know, the Midwest, I want to touch on all the regions. So we touched on the West and the South. Let's touch on the Midwest here a little bit more. Similar at the top, where, you know, we talked about the meat for the West, that 5 to 13 range. The thing that's really impressive in the Midwest is 3 of your top 6 seeds are the best seeds at their level. So Louisville is the best 2 seed in terms of strength of roster. Michigan State's the best 4 seed, and Texas A&M is the best 6 seed. And you've also got Cincinnati as a 3 is in there. Texas as a 5 is in there. All those teams, all those top 6 seeds are all in the top 20 in strength of roster. There's definitely a dip after that. The rest of this region dips off. You got Rutgers, Oregon, Notre Dame, Lafayette, Boise State, Radford. These are all really strong teams. But relative to where they fall at the seed lines compared to the other regions, they're a little weaker, which favors Butler. But they're going to have to deal with some really strong teams once they get, you know, 2 rounds, 3 rounds into the tournament.
Yeah, like you said, the Midwest region is very top heavy. It's the top 6 are probably some of the best that you can get. But if you're just looking at strength of roster, but if you're looking a little deeper and you're looking at those teams, you look at a team like Lafayette, you look at a team like Boise State, like Radford, and even like Purdue, Fort Wayne, and Appalachian State. These teams that they may not have the best strength of roster, but they're teams that in the right situation, they could, if you're looking past them, they could jump up and bite you. So this could be, I think that if you're going to see an upset that kind of surprises you, this is going to be the region where it comes from. You're going to see a team like maybe Cincinnati that overlooks Boise State or something like that, and they get bitten, and it's going to be very interesting to see how those teams that on the just on the first look, they kind of look like they're a little weaker.
Yeah, I definitely agree. They're a little lower. Specifically talking about Lafayette, Boise State, Radford, Illinois State, your 10 through 13s. They're a little lower in terms of strength of roster. But those teams come from mid-major conferences, and they are proven winners. Those teams have earned the right to be there. Radford has to be one of the hottest teams in the country, if not the single hottest. They've won at least their last 19 games, probably more than that. And as a 12 seed, that's a tough matchup for a team like Texas. Radford's going to come into that matchup extremely confident. And, you know, Texas made it to the Big 12 championship, so they're doing well too. They're a strong team. But, you know, some of those mid-major teams, they know what it takes to win. And, it'll be, it, I wouldn't be shocked to see an upset from any of those at all. Moving over to the East region, you know, you've got Kentucky at the top. Connecticut's the worst two seed, but they're still very strong. Wisconsin and Pittsburgh are your 3 and 4 seeds, and they're actually better than Connecticut on paper. Washington as a 5 seed is one spot behind Connecticut on paper in strength of roster. And then Georgia Tech, again, that 8 seed is just incredibly tough. You've got Georgia's a 7 seed, 31st in strength of roster. Florida's an 11 seed, 33rd in strength of roster. Illinois is a 10 seed, 34th. I mean, that there's a lot of tough teams in that range. Florida Atlantic is kind of in the middle there, a little bit on their own as in terms of they fall a little behind some of these other teams with a strength of roster of 86 as a 9 seed. But the other top 11 seeds are all in the top 45 in this region.
Yeah, this is going to be another one. Like we've said for the other ones, this is going to be some very juicy matchups here. And I mean, looking at just like Old Dominion in Florida, Georgia, Illinois, that 6-10, 7 or 6-11, 7-10 matchups. I mean, just looking at those strength of rosters, with Georgia's at 31, Illinois at 34. How much closer can you get? You know, it's gonna be really interesting. They've got just some great matchups, and this one, I think this one's, we could see some surprises on the first round, but I feel very confident in Kentucky, and I feel very confident in Wisconsin.
Yeah, definitely can't argue too much with you there. You know, so that kind of finishes off our region breakdown for the March Madness bracket reveal. Finally, there's one other thing I want to touch on briefly, which was kind of how we've seen now 3 seasons play out in their entirety, including March Madness. And so now we've kind of gotten a little bit broader of a look on how these matchups have played out throughout the seasons. And so Southeast Missouri State's head coach posted this on Discord, and I thought it was interesting. I thought I would touch on it just a little bit. Just the way that these seed matchups have played out in the first 3 seasons. So we haven't had an upset from a 1 or a 2 or a 3 seed so far in the heat check sim in March Madness. All of those seeds are 12-0 to this point. So 4 wins in the first round each year for those seeds. The first upset comes from a 4-13 matchup where there is 1-13 that has won a game against a 4 seed. And then, you know, the 5-12 matchups, which are always fun, it's gone in favor of the 5 seed 67% of the time. They're 8-4. And the same is for the 6 versus the 11 seed. And then that 7-10 matchup and the 8-9 matchup, as you might expect, it's even 6-6 for both of those matchups.
Yes, this is pretty much how you would expect it to look. You know, just that the distribution there of, and I feel like it gives this the sim a little more realism. You know, I mean, it's cool to see those teams. You know, the higher seeded teams lose in the first round, the 1s and the 2s and the 3s. But how often does it really happen? You know, we've had the 1-16 seed has beaten a 1 out of like what every 7,000 times or something like that. And you know, you and I were talking off air that it kind of that's one of those things that kind of makes feel the realism kind of, you know, brings a little comfort. You know, why it you know if in season 1. 15 and 2-14s would have won. I would have been like, whoa, okay, you know, maybe this is a little over the top. But I feel like we're getting to that point where we could see something like that happen. But I think that now the distribution that we've seen.
Yeah, I definitely agree. At some point, those upsets will start to come through. I have no doubt that we'll see it at some point. But you know, you don't want to see them too often. You don't want every matchup to feel like, you know, a crapshoot or, you know, it's just a flip of the coin when it comes down to it. I think, you know, seeing those top seeds do so well early on in the tournament makes sense. It adds to that realism, like you said. But at some point, one of those top 3 seeds will go down. It could be this year. I wouldn't be shocked if it's not, obviously, but it's definitely coming. So don't lose hope if you're a 14, 15, 16 seed. You know, everyone's rooting for those teams. So it'll be exciting to see if it happens this year. And if not, it won't be too far in the future, I don't think. And then
I'll put it out there.
There you go.
This year, George calling Washington's your shot, knocking off Arizona. That's the one.
Calling your shot. I like it. I like it. And you did look up it. The one 13 seed that has knocked off a 4 seed. It did occur in season 2 is Loyola Maryland over Kansas State. So that's the biggest upset in March Madness heat checks in history is Loyola Maryland getting that win. So you know, at this point, we've completed our bracket reveal. We touched on all the conference tournament results. We looked at bracketology to set the stage and revealed the bracket. We did our breakdowns on the conferences and the regions. You know, want to thank you for hopping on the episode with me and, you know, going through all this. We had a great time. It was really fun. I'm just looking forward to seeing how this thing plays out.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a lot of fun. I'm much more excited about March Madness this year than I have been in the past. And this has really helped a lot, kind of get focus in on it and kind of analyze the matchups a little bit. Yeah, I'm
definitely looking forward to seeing how it plays out. This point, I'll give you a chance to, you know, plug anything you want to, whether it's your Twitter account, where people can find you on Discord, anything like that, anything you feel necessary to plug.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. You can, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, the South Dakota State Twitter handle is, let's see, pull it up real quick. It's at @HCS_SDSU. I'm going to do a little bit better about posting on there. If you want to follow my personal Twitter account, it's at Evans Rankings. In my spare time, I do rankings for like computer rankings for like college or high school football, high school basketball in the state of Washington, high school football in a couple other states around us. And mostly that's sports. There's a little bit of, you know, real life stuff in there, but you know, give me a follow on those. You can hit me up on the Discord. I think I'm at South Dakota State, something like that, or at Evans Rankings, something like that. Just, you can find me.
I appreciate all the analytics stuff you post. I know everyone appreciates it. A lot of people are spend a lot of time in that, you know, the season 4 progression file that you post, or that annual file you post every year. I know people spend a lot of time in there, and you've continued to add on to it each of the last couple of seasons. So appreciate all your work there. I appreciate you coming on this episode, and you know, I think one of us will get lucky, or one or both of us will get luckier next year. I called my shot last year. I thought I'd get in the tournament. Didn't have any luck. Back-to-back years, I've left disappointed. But I think one of us, if not both of us, will have a better result next year. All right. Thanks again for coming on. Good luck to everyone in March Madness. We will be back with the, you know, season 5 before we know it. Thanks as always for listening, and feel free to let me know if you have any questions or comments. I'll try to incorporate your responses in future episodes. If there's any specific topics you want to hear about, please, you know, let me know, and I'll see what I can do. But for now, you know, that covers season 4's bracket. Good luck to all the teams that are going to be in March Madness or in NIT. Good luck to you all. And for everyone else, good luck in season 5. See you later.